You're listening to the Christian Humanist Radio Network, christianhumanist.org.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the City of Man podcast. My name is Coy O'Neill. I'm an assistant professor of political science at Southwest Baptist University in Bolivar, Missouri. Here today to talk with me about his new book, One Faith No Longer, The Transformation of Christianity in Red and Blue America, is Dr. George Yancey, professor of sociology at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. Dr. Yancey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Let's just jump into this book. Can you start by telling us a little bit about J. Gresham Machen and what he has to do with your research?
Well, yeah, you know, that's interesting. He's more of a theologian than I am. But, yeah, many years ago, he argued that that modernistic types of forms of Christianity really wasn't Christianity. And so he argued it from a more theological perspective, a more theological argument. What Dr. Quisnook and I try to do is look at that question from a more sociological, looking at research, how people actually talk about issues. So his is more theological, which, you know, is fine, but it's not exactly what we are trying to do.
His book, Christianity and Liberalism, right? Interestingly, I've heard the point made, he intentionally did not title it Fundamentalism and Liberalism. Like he backed away from that a little bit. But you do kind of compare modern theology with traditionalism, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, right? Conservative Christianity.
We call it conservative and progressive Christianity, yes.
Can you outline those two sides for us? Can you kind of walk us through the things you're comparing?
Yeah, because, you know, anytime you do this as a scholar, you have to delineate what do you mean by that. And so the way we decided to do it was based on theological beliefs. And so, I mean, it's unfortunate because obviously there are shades in the middle. But we stated that if you're a Christian and you believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God and that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, then we labeled you as a conservative Christian. Doesn't mean anything about your politics, necessarily. You know, you can think of people who have those beliefs and are quite progressive politically. That's not what we're looking at. On the other hand, if you did not believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and you did not see the Bible as the inherent word of God, we labeled you as having a progressive theology. Now, once again, you could have that and be very concerned politically, although most are not. And I think we will go into why that is the case. So we didn't start off with a political definition. We started off with a theological definition. And from then, we want to see these two groups and how they approached different issues.
Well, and I guess you can pick whichever one of those you want to start with. Can you take one and kind of walk us through, you know, what is a progressive Christian or what is a conservative Christian?
Yes. So one of the things to look at, you know, and part of it's probably due to the way we sort of defined it. But a conservative Christian, you know, and we use the definition of the Bible as the word of God. And so it's not surprising that they very highly esteem their interpretation of the Bible in trying to answer questions of meaning, questions of purpose, questions of reality, questions of what's good and evil, that their interpretation of the Bible becomes centered in all that. And so that becomes very important to them. And that's where we say that's where they get their sense of meaning. A progressive Christian, they don't get their purpose, their sense of reality, sense of right or wrong from their interpretation of the Bible as strongly as conservative Christians. And in fact, what we argue is that they use a humanist ethic of social justice. Say that fast three times. And what this means is that values such as inclusion and tolerance and justice becomes the way that they orient their understanding of meaning. And this leads us eventually to our conclusion that these are two groups that are that have different ways of constructing meaning. And if you define religion, as I happen to, if you define religion as a way in which individuals try to answer questions of meaning, then we're really talking about two different religious groups that use some similar terminologies, and sometimes the terminologies mean the same thing, sometimes they don't, some terminologies, but still, their approach towards answering the questions of meaning is not just a matter of a degree of difference, it's a categorical difference from each other.
Now, this isn't the main point of your book, but I do want to sort of ask a question about your definition of progressive Christians. And again, not politically, which you guys are very clear that there's that distinction that needs to be made. What do you do with the progressive Christians who say, look, I do firmly believe in the Bible as the authoritative, you know, word of God, and I do get my meaning and life from it, but the way I read it is social justice. The way I read it is the list of things that you just included there, and I just happen to think that those conservative Christians are wrong in their interpretation.
Okay. Yeah, very good. So if a person says, I believe the Bible is the authoritative word of God and Jesus Christ is the only way, that person, by our definition, would be classified as a conservative Christian. Now, it is very well possible, and this is why I talk about the way people interpret the Bible, because I'm not going to, as a scholar, I'm not going to presume that this is the correct interpretation. That's for theologians to argue about. Do I have my own beliefs? Yes, I do. But that's not, I don't come in with a scholarly expertise in theology. All right? So a person could be a conservative Christian, and yes, see in their interpretation of the Bible, social justice. Just like a conservative Christian could see the Bible as the word of God, but heavily lean on social justice in order to make sense of reality as well. So that is possible. So as a sociologist, what we're looking at is patterns and tendencies. We're not looking at outliers or trying to look at patterns in society. And that person would be an outlier when we look at the data that we see there today. So that person undoubtedly does exist. But you don't use outliers to understand patterns in our society.
Right. It's possible but rare, right? Very possible
right,
but rare.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about the metric that you use for comparison? So you say that the two are functionally different religions. Can you kind of walk us through, or yeah, I suppose you can just say people have to buy the book and read it.
That's nice.
Yeah. And let me encourage people to get out and go out and pick up this book, because I think it is worth reading and kind of thinking about why all of this matters, because it is a big thing, as with Machen's book. Right. If this is true, this is super important for modern politics, modern religion, and so on. And I think it's true. If not to give away the end here, but I'm largely in agreement with it. Can you talk to us about how you compare the two? What are the metrics you use here?
Sure. So to compare both groups, we first use a quantitative analysis. So there's this interesting survey question, and that. How do you rate how much you like, I'm oversimplifying it, how much you like a group on a scale of 0 to 100? So, you know, if you don't like Muslims, you may put them down as 10. If you love feminists, you may put them down as 90. But put down as 100, put Muslims down as 0. 0 to 100. So then we use that scale to see how do conservative Christians rate other groups. And what we found was that for conservative Christians, the way they rated groups depended much more on theological agreement. So they tend to rate groups such as atheists and Muslims lower. If they were conservative themselves politically, they obviously would rate conservatives higher than political progressives, but they really didn't punish political progressives that much. On the other hand, with progressive Christians, they did not have as much problems with theologically different groups, atheists, Muslims. They have more problems with with political conservatives. So that's our first step. So that tells us, okay, these groups, who they see as their in-group and their out-group is different. For a progressive Christian, their out-groups are more politically based. For a conservative Christian, they're more theologically based. From that, then we go into qualitative work. We did interviews. My research partner did interviews of evangelicals. Some of them were progressive. Some of them were conservative. I contributed a study of blogs. and wanted to see how these groups reacted to groups that are politically different from themselves. So for progressive Christians, I looked at pro-life progressive Christians. For conservative Christians, I looked at pro-immigration reform, because now they're going against their natural political allies. And from that, we begin to see on how they discuss these issues on the priority conservative Christians give to theological agreement towards an identity as a Christian, towards being inclusive of other Christians. And the priority that progressive Christians gave on issues of tolerance and inclusion and being inclusive of those of other faiths, but not as inclusive of those of Christians who they differed from. So that's how we kind of went down this path and began to see how these two groups begin to differentiate themselves from each other.
And can you just clarify a little bit there? And you guys work this out in your book, but just for our listeners, when you say they're not as tolerant of conservative Christians, do you mean that politically conservative Christians or theologically conservative Christians or both?
Really both. When we look at their work, sometimes they're critiquing the politics. Sometimes they're critiquing the theological elements that conservative Christians bring in. They think conservative Christians value, some of them even talk about it as being an idol, the way that conservative Christians treat the Bible. That conservative Christians are not inclusive in their theology. And so really, I would say it's both.
And is that true the other way also, when conservatives are weighing progressive Christians? Do they weight politically progressive Christians and theologically progressive Christians differently?
While some of the conservative Christians do critique the politics of progressive Christians, usually was because they felt that either the progressive Christians were not taking Christianity seriously enough, or they were distorting the Bible for their own ends. So it was much more of a theological critique. Now, conservative Christians were pretty likely, though, to accept progressive Christians as Christians, as they saw them as their peers, who they disagreed with a little bit.
Sorry, is that politically progressive or theologically progressive?
This is theologically progressive. We did not do any differentiation on political grounds.
Okay.
So when it comes to theologically progressive Christians, conservative Christians were fairly likely to say, well, you know, I disagree with them, but they're still Christians, they're still brothers and sisters in the Lord, that sort of thing. Much more likely to do that than progressive Christians were to conservative Christians. But when they did critique them, it was because they thought they weren't serious enough or that they are distorting the Bible. So it was a theological critique for the most part.
Now, you also use as sort of a counterbalance in all of this their perspectives on Islam, mm-hmm. both sides thinking about Islam. Yeah. Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, so in the interviews, they're interviewed about their ideas about Islam. And for conservative Christians, they see Islam as a false religion, an inaccurate religion. And thus, their interactions with the Muslim is one of hope of conversion. The Muslim's on the wrong path. For conservative Christians, the best way to love people on the wrong path is to send them on the right path. And so that's a priority. They're willing to work with Muslims, but they're not willing to be part of the Muslim community. You know, yeah, we have a common project, we'll work together, hopefully to build relationships, share one's faith, but not part of the Muslim community. Progressive Christians didn't have a problem feeling a part of the Muslim community. They saw Muslims as on a path to God, perhaps a little bit different from their own. If they wanted to convert Muslims to anything, is to find their true self, their true path, maybe head them towards being a little more tolerant in certain ways. But they were upset at conservative Christians who were trying to proselytize Muslims because they felt that they were taking them away from their path. In fact, I think we even put this in the book, some of them called Muslims followers of Christ, because for them, that was just a different path to the same path that they're on. So it's a very different understanding of Islam for both groups.
And I'm curious. I know you can't, you know, give specific names or whatever, because mm-hmm. this has to be anonymous. But I'm sort of curious about the methodology on that. How can I ask this so I'm not pressuring you to give away information? How did you gather that data? Because when I think Christians working with Muslims, I tend to think international, Or are you including international work also?
No, we're looking here in the United States. Really, my research partner did that section of the work, but what she's told me, she located two churches that had interactions with Muslims, and she contacted several leaders who were either progressive Christians or conservative Christians, and then interviewed them as well.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to dig into with your metrics, like with your measurement tools? Otherwise, I think the kind of the conclusions are where this gets kind of really fun from a political perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could, but I find that unless someone's really interested in that's not as interesting to them. And in the book, we try to write in a way that's very accessible. Yeah. So that you don't have to have had a course in methods in order to enjoy the book. In fact, you know, parts of the book, like the blogs and the interviews, you get to read people in their own words, discuss what's happening.
Right. And the if you have had the course in methods, right, there's always the appendix that goes.
The appendix is there.
So let's assume that all of your data is perfect, which I think it's really solid and well done and all of that. You guys draw some conclusions. Your big one being these are two separate religions, right? So going back to Machen. Yeah. Can you kind of flesh that out for us a little bit, and then we'll work with what that means?
Sure. Here's one of the reasons why I think this is important. People like to talk about a Christian nation, or a Christian this, or a Christian that. I think people need to stop talking about a Christian this or Christian that. What you need to say is, what sort of Christianity you're talking about? So if you're talking about a Christian nation, that presupposes that you have this group of people who are... Well, they don't agree on everything, obviously, but they share common bonds and common purposes, and yeah, there's agreements, but they're kind of going the same direction generally. Well, that's not the case. That there is, you know, there are groups of Christians who have that, but Christians as a whole, that simply is not the case. And so in that sense, we need to stop talking about a Christian nation. There's other reasons to stop talking about it, but that by itself indicates we can't talk about a Christian nation or Christian values or Christian this or Christian that. I think a lot of conservative Christians tend to emphasize the notion of a Christian community or a Christian nation. They have a very expansive definition of what is a Christian, who identifies as a Christian. Almost anyone who does, they count as part of their group. And I think they make a mistake in doing that because they assume that someone who says that they're a Christian will only have goodwill for them and their particular group of Christians because they happen to have that goodwill. And I think that's just a mistake. I think academics make a mistake when they talk about Christian this or Christian that without appreciating these distinctions. So I think, starting from that, that's very important for us to recognize that this notion of this sort of homogenized or fairly homogenized Christian community just is not the reality here in the United States.
Do the distinctions between the progressive and the conservative Christians, so even if they are separate religions, are they large enough distinctions for that to matter sociologically, politically, and so on, in the same way that, say, the distinctions between Protestant and Catholic might be, or the distinction, any other number of distinctions.
Yeah, I think it's more so than Protestant and Catholic, honestly. I think one thing that's happened is that denominations is less and less important in our country. And Protestant Catholics is still a pretty significant split, but it's not as big a split as this. Because I would argue that Protestant and Catholics have the same basic answers to questions of meaning, but the way it manifests itself is a little bit different. So they're not exactly the same, obviously. So Protestant Catholics disagree on the importance of a pope. Fine. They're that disagreement there. But they both, in their own way, are looking towards Jesus as the answer to questions of meaning. And the way they understand Jesus is really not that different. Yeah, the Catholics may have this layer of pope or something like that, but their understanding is really not that different. The difference between conservative and progressive Christians is very stark. I use this example in a in another podcast, I think a couple of weeks ago. I think it's a really good example. The topic of homosexuality. Okay, is homosexuality something that is acceptable or not? Should we discourage it or should we affirm it? Right. And we know that on average, conservative Christians say discourage it, and progressive Christians say affirm it. But that by itself, you know, that's a difference. That by itself does not tell us that these are two distinct groups. But how they got there does. So for a conservative Christian, how do you get to the point where you say homosexuality should be discouraged? The way you answer questions of meaning is by your interpretation of the Bible. And so for a conservative Christian to answer that question, what they have to do is they have to go to the Bible and interpret it as best as they can. And then they look at the question of homosexuality, and then they say, based on my interpretation of the Bible, they may not say my interpretation, but that's what's happening.
Right.
Based on my interpretation of the Bible, this is sin. It should not be encouraged. Not saying we have to be mean or abusive. Should not be encouraged. A progressive Christian, and let me just make this point. This does not mean that for a conservative Christian, that they don't care about being inclusive or tolerant. But it says that before I engage in that, I have to go to the Bible. And then it helps me understand what's happening. For a progressive Christian, being inclusion and tolerant is the source of the question of meaning. So they have to go to their understanding of what it means to be inclusive, tolerant, social justice. And how does homosexuality fit in that? And for Muslim, how homosexuality fits in that is to be affirming, be supportive of it. So they may go to the Bible and they may say, okay, if the Bible interpretation is that I'm not firmly supportive, something must be wrong with that interpretation, because this is where I'm getting my sense of my questions of meaning, and this is the answer that I have, and I've got to go to the Bible to reinforce that answer. In a similar way, I guess you could say a conservative Christian may go to the notions of tolerance and social justice to affirm their answer to homosexuality. So you get these distinct definitions of what homosexuality is, and it really comes out of the distinctiveness of how these groups answer questions, meaning what they value and what's important to them.
Now, if these two groups are that different, and again, I'm sold that they are, what ends up being the difference in size and scope? You just said denominations are sort of on the decline. But if we can use the measure of mainline versus evangelical, even with the slow mainline collapse and even with the sort of slow growth of evangelicalism, mainline is still huge compared to evangelicals.
Yeah.
What about in this measure? What's the difference in numbers there?
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen any direct data on decrease of progressive Christians theologically, you know, what we've been looking at is denominationally. So I don't know if I've seen direct numbers on that, but I do get a sense that they are growing smaller in population. From indirectly, I've sort of picked up some evidence that they're growing smaller in population relative to the rest of society. So I do think that is something that progressive Christians are going to have to deal with in the coming years.
Right. And I suppose especially if we're ignoring the Protestant-Catholic divide and just using progressive and conservative, then yeah, I think that would probably be even more measurable.
I think so.
So if to tie this back into what you're saying about a Christian nation, if the divide is there, does it mean we can't talk about America as a Christian nation, aside from theologically whether we should be talking about America as a Christian nation, which our listeners will know my thoughts on that. But does it mean that we just can't talk about that at all because this divide is so large, it fragments Christianity enough that we can't? Or can we talk about America as a Christian nation, but we have to pick one of those groups and say, yeah, you're the outlier nationally here?
Yeah, I don't think we should talk about America as a Christian nation. I think the fracture is so great that if at an earlier point in our history we could, I don't think we can now. You know, denominations are splitting up now along these lines. And so I don't see it getting any better in the near future.
But if I'm an atheist and I say, all right, fine, denominations are splitting up, progressive Christianity, conservative Christianity, different religions, they still have more in common with each other than they do with me. They still say there's something special about Jesus, and they still theoretically are all trying to influence policy from that position, even if they're taking opposite sides politically. Are there enough of them? Are they influential enough in the culture, either together or separately, that we could still talk about something more than just a faction or a movement, something that's actually shaping the culture? Or does the fragmentation totally eliminate that?
Well, I think, first of all, I would not agree with you saying to the atheist or the atheist, if that's who you're talking about, who says that I don't have anything in common with these groups, because I think with progressive Christians, they do. Now, yeah, they obviously, progressive Christians believe in a God, they don't believe in a God. But we're looking about humanistic values of tolerance and inclusion and how important that is to progressive Christians. I think that's an incredibly important bridge to people who are atheists and this sort of thing. Now, having said that, I do think progressive Christians have problems retaining their numbers. And I don't know if there's an easy fix to that at this point in time.
Which you're not trying to, you know, outline, here's how we heal the rift or here's how we solve these problems.
Right, yeah.
So it removes this removes a tool that we have. I don't know if you guys use the term consensus in sociology, but that's kind of our political science term, like that point of agreement that kind of everyone's on board with without having to reflect on it. If in fact we don't have that as a body of people who identify as Christians, what do we have instead? What do we use to measure and to judge? Isn't quite the right word. That's too loaded a term. Outs me as a conservative Christian, right? When I say judge, how do we explain what these different groups of Christians are doing and what their relationship to the culture is and how we measure it?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are all really interesting questions. I do think if there's a difficulty in saying, okay, these are two different groups, are we going to name one thing or another thing? You know, I don't think that there's an easy answer to that particular question. As far as how do we understand our society. I think it's important to understand our society, to understand these dynamics out there, because Christians numerically are the largest religious group in the country. And so to understand that divide is to understand that even though they're the largest group, they're not a monolithic group. And so you may not like Christians, you may hate Christians, but chances are there's some Christians that you get along with because there's such a variety within Christianity.
You talk a little bit about the fear that each side has as they're reacting, and how kind of thinking about these numbers can affect that for good and for ill. And your book was also useful for this. I don't tend to think of progressive Christians as being particularly fearful, given that they are kind of on the winning side in the culture right now. But can you talk about that a little bit? From each side, for the progressives and the conservatives, what sorts of fears do they have, and how can understanding these differences maybe sharpen or properly modify those fears?
Yeah, so you know, for conservative Christians, they do fear losing their place in society. As a percentage of the population, they see their religion getting smaller and smaller. Even if their numbers are dramatically going down, they have this loss of allies. So I think that is a fear that they do have. I think progressive Christians fear a lot that their faith is being distorted by conservative Christians. That the conservative Christians who don't show love and compassion and kindness, they're distorting the way their faith is supposed to be, the way their faith should be seen by the rest of society. And it may be one of the reasons why they are harder on conservative Christians than almost anyone else in society.
Yeah, as a conservative Christian, that's always kind of interesting. My response is usually, you guys have won. Like, what's the issue here? How does this relate to polarization in the United States?
Yeah, you know, I think that in some ways Christians have followed along the same lines of polarization as the rest of Americans. Now, there are certain different manifestations of it, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, it's a case of society impacting the church rather than vice versa.
Where does the moderate Christian come into all of this? So to use the language of polarization kind of raises that I think, largely imaginary political figure of the moderate. What about in terms of religion? Where do moderates fall?
Yeah, there are martyr Christians. I mean, we didn't capture all Christians with our. I mean, there may be a Christian who, there not only are Christians who believe that the Bible is the word of God, but Jesus Christ is not the only way, or something like that. So by our definition, they would be a martyr Christian. That's it. You know, I can only speculate. I think over time they'll head towards conservative Christianity simply because as the institutions of progressive Christianity fail, if they want to go back to the faith, they'll have to look towards conservative Christians.
So let's say that all of the sociologists in America come to you and say, you know, Dr. Yancey, we've read your book. We 100% agree with it. Going forward, we want you to define the terms and the boundaries for future research on Christianity for us.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us some sort of broad guidelines? What would you provide them with?
You mean on this particular issue or just
on this particular issue? Give us some rules that will help us understand better Christianity moving forward.
Yeah. You know, I think it'll be useful to look in Catholicism to see how the schisms there have developed and whether or not there's a schism that's really looking towards distancing itself from those more conservative Catholics. I think that'd be fascinating. You know, I think the more that we can do some qualitative work, the more interviews we get, the more knowledge we're going to get because you'll get more nuance that way. So I definitely would encourage that aspect of it. I don't know, you know, just the role of politics and religion. I don't think we fully understand. You know, usually when we talk about politics and religion, we're talking about conservative Christians. Yet, our research suggests that progressive Christians per capita are more political than conservative Christians. It's more important to them. So I think that needs to be more fully explored. What I think has happened is that there's been a lot of studies on conservative Christians, not that much on progressive Christians. That needs to change.
Obviously, this book has come out in the last year, so I would assume that does include Christians, conservative Christians who are supporters of Donald Trump. We always have to throw that including Trump or not including Trump caveat in there because he changes so many rules. Is that even accounting for the phenomenon of getting people out to vote that Trump seemed to manage?
I think in some ways Trump has helped to polarize this whole situation because for a lot of progressive Christians, they have a hard time understanding how a Christian can vote for Trump. For them, they don't. That's almost like, how can you be a Christian and vote for Trump? And of course, conservative Christians mainly voted for Trump for a variety of different political reasons. And so I think that the Trump phenomenon actually, I think in many ways, it's probably polarized a lot of areas in our society. But definitely, I think it has in Christianity.
And kind of moving towards a close, it's always dangerous to ask about the stuff you didn't write about. But one group of people who identify as Christian that would clearly fall, at least politically, on the conservative side would be someone like the Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they fall in your measurement here? I mean, again, theologically, they're going to be kind of beyond both veils here.
Yeah, we didn't include them in there. I would assume that they would probably say the Bible is the word of God, but of course, you know, Mormonism it's surpassed by things such as Doctrines and Covenants and Book of Mormon and Pearl of Great Price and that sort of thing. But I think they would say it's inspired by God. I don't know whether I don't think they would say Jesus Christ is the only way though. So they may not be considered Christian by our standards. Politically, they are. And so that's where progressive. So I guess the Mormons won't be liked by either group. They won't be liked by the conservative Christians because they'll say, you're not really a Christian. They won't be liked by the progressive Christians because they'll say, your political conservatism is giving us a bad picture, giving us, making us look bad. So I don't think the Mormons will be well received with either group.
Yeah, interesting. Living where I do now, I encounter Mormons far less than I did when I was growing up out west, but it's always kind of interesting to try to measure where they're going to fall because they vote as such a cohesive block.
Right, they
act so unified in a way that no one else really, even the Catholics, don't have that kind of cohesion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yes.
Just to round things out, if someone wants to know more about the topic of your book. obviously Machen's Christianity and Liberalism, but can you point our listeners towards a few other resources? So they've read your book, what should they read next?
Yeah, I mean, I guess on this topic, you know, my co-author came out with a book just recently. And so you might want to look that book up. So on that topic, that'd be worth a read.
And I'll put that in the show notes so listeners can go look it up. All right. Well, is there anything else you want to highlight? Anything that we've skimmed over too much? It's a thorough book, so we've obviously given far too little attention to it. But is there anything you'd especially like to bring up?
No, sounds really good.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time to do this.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the City of Man podcast. The City of Man is part of the Christian Humanist Radio Network. Our press liaison is Kristen Filippic. Please check out the other podcasts in our family and get more information about this show or our show notes by visiting ChristianHumanist.org. Please also leave us a review on iTunes to help other people find our show, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/cityofmanpodcast, or get in touch with us at cityofmanpodcast@gmail.com. This is Coyle Neal reminding you to render unto Caesar those things that are Caesar's, and render unto God those things that are God's.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking that ribbon of high